You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dressed, the History of Fashion is a production of Dressed Media. With over 8 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast where we explore the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. Hello, Dressed listeners. As many of you know, April and I live in separate states. We both record in our bedrooms currently.
Slash office.
Yes. Multifunctional. April lives in New York City, celebrated as a world fashion center along with places like Milan, Paris, London, and Tokyo. But did you know that I also live in a world fashion center? And while perhaps not traditionally recognized as such, New Mexico is an epicenter of indigenous design talent and has been for thousands of years. And these are both things that today's guest, Amber Dawn Bearrobe, has reminded us time and time again on the show.
Yes, and Amber Dawn's name and work should be well familiar to everyone, as she has joined us multiple times over the past few years to discuss her work as a director, producer, and driving visionary of the fashion shows that accompany the Southwest Association for Indian Arts, or SWAIA, SWAIA's annual Santa Fe Indian Market, where once a year, indigenous designers and models from across North America converge for a two-day fashion extravaganza, hands down the highlight of this market, which is the largest of its kind in the entire world.
So much like our upcoming Met Gala red carpet coverage, we have now made annual coverage of SWAIA Indian Market a staple of the podcast, both in our firsthand coverage of the designs that we have seen coming down the runway and in interviews with the designers, which have included Karina Emmerich, Orlando Dugay, and most recently, Jonte Kamm, who made his SWAIA debut last fall to rave reviews in Women's Wear Daily and Vogue.
Over the past few years, the mainstream fashion press has really started to pay attention to the exciting talent seen on the SWAIA runways and have really ramped up their champion of Indigenous designers. And this is the movement, and arguably spearheaded by Christian Allaire, another past Dressed guest, who, as Vogue's first full-time Indigenous staff writer, has made highlighting Indigenous fashion and its creators a central platform of his work.
So why, may you ask, is Amber Dawn joining us 4 months before the August market? Well, that is because in just a few short weeks, May 2nd through May 5th to be exact, will mark the debut of SWAIA Native Fashion Week, the very first Indigenous Fashion Week in the U.S. dedicated to showcasing the exciting and dynamic creations of Native American and Indigenous Canadian designers.
It is a momentous occasion, and we can't wait to hear all about it. Amber Dawn, welcome back to Dressed.
Amber Dawn, welcome back to Dressed. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, and this is incredibly exciting because you, of course, have been on the show multiple times to discuss the SWAIA Annual Fashion Show, but never to discuss SWAIA Native Fashion Week, the first ever Indigenous Fashion Week in the U.S. So congratulations, first of all, on this historic event.
Thank you. Thank you.
And this, of course, has been years in the making. For our listeners who might not know, can you give us a little bit of history of the origin of the SWAIA Fashion Show and your role in its development over the years?
Yes, this will actually be the 11th year of SWAIA Fashion. But when I first moved to Santa Fe in 2012, I put on a couple of shows for the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts. And then I was wanting to get involved with Swaya, and I proposed to do a fashion show for Swaya. The first director at that time was not that interested. But then finally, one of the newer directors said, sure, let's do it. And it's grown in leaps and bounds over the years. And it was time for the show to have its own platform and place to represent and give space to all the amazing designers and people in the Native Indigenous fashion industry. So this is where we are. It was definitely not overnight. This has been 12
years. Yeah, over 10 years. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's super interesting too, not surprising for people who love fashion and study fashion, that there was maybe pushback in the beginning. But also it's incredibly not surprising that this is the Swaya fashion show for Indian Market is like one of the highlights of the weekend. Like people come to go to those Swaya events. And so it's also not surprising to me that it has grown into needing its own platform, which is so exciting, which is this Swaya Native Fashion Week that we are here to talk about today. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind Swaya Native Fashion Week and why it was so important for you to expand beyond just the Swaya market presentations?
I guess there's many facets as to why. There's the logistics. There is also the level of depth into the representation. With the Fashion Week, we can go beyond the beautiful visual surface level and get into the history, the dynamics, all the rich nuances and layers of Indigenous fashion and why Native fashion matters, why this Fashion Week is important. We'll be looking at that with the symposium. This also gives me the time to have a little private event for the designers, which is really important because oftentimes I work with these designers and with all these people who come here for market, including the models, and there's never time for us to actually meet and talk with one another. And I realized how important that was. I went to the Canadian Fashion Awards in October of last year, and there was, as soon as I got off the plane, I had to go to this dinner. I'm like, it was pressed for time, but it was fine. And once I got there and I sat down, I was sitting across from Christian Allaire and Jamie Okuma. I'm like, oh my stars, I have never sat down with you. Like, I've been working with Jamie for over 10 years. I've never sat down with you and had a bite, had a glass of wine and talked. So it really stressed to me the importance of having that time with one another. And so we have these designers, amazing designers and artists coming from across Canada, the United States. And so this Fashion Week allows to kick off the week with a meet and greet and getting to know one another. Some of the designers have worked together before and some have never even been to Santa Fe before. So it really allows space for connection beyond the chaos of the Indian market. Eventually, like the Fashion Week to grow into, once the fashion shows are over, for there to be a couple of industry days, hoping that industry will come here. So it really allows to help nurture and make the footprint of Indigenous fashion larger,
yeah,
and strong.
And I also think this is like the prime time for this too, right? I don't want to say Indigenous fashion's having a moment because it's not ephemeral and it's of course always been here, but like the visibility of Indigenous designers right now is at an all-time high. I don't know if you agree with me. I think you have a lot to do with that, and Christian Allaire at Vogue obviously has a lot to do with that as well. But do you want to talk about a little bit about that in terms of like the broader representation of Indigenous fashion?
Absolutely. Indigenous fashion is getting a huge highlight right now, with specifically Lily Gladstone and the cast, the talent of Killers of the Flower Moon. She single-handedly has brought so many designers into the limelight, into major awards, public awards, and the Oscars. Joe Big Mountain for her Oscar dress collaborated with Gucci. So she's done... she has an amazing role of putting a spotlight on Indigenous designers, Indigenous fashion, but also with Hollywood is the place where people look at the stars and look for fashion. So we, prior to Killers of the Flower Moon, we had the cast and the stars of Reservation Dogs. We also have Dark Winds. We also have Rutherford Falls. So we really have the Indigenous people who are themselves in their own careers are having a spotlight, they're also bringing people with them in terms of that includes the designers. And yeah, that's just one of the many trajectories into why the Indigenous fashion is getting a kind of real highlight right now. But if you look at the broader scope of fashion too, when you look at the broader scope of the world that we live in North America, specifically of awareness to diversity, of awareness to even equity and inclusion in businesses. So there's also a growing platform of diversity within the culture of Canada in the United States, which then extends to Native North Americans in many different places, including fashion.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, Ralph Lauren also just had their, of course, first resident designer ever at the company, and it is Danae Weaver Naomi Glasses, which is huge as well.
That is huge. And then, you know, we had Kawana Chasing Horse and Philip Bread, who are key primary models for the Ralph Lauren ad campaign for Naomi Glasses. Then you had Jeffrey Gibson, a huge art star based in New York and Indigenous, and he did a collaboration with the Christian Dior bags. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on. It's fantastic, and it's all helped shed light on not only Indigenous culture, but Indigenous presence and Indigenous creativity in all of its various forms.
Yeah, and of course, Swaya Native Fashion Week is also going to go a long way in propping up and keeping that momentum going as an inaugural annual event. So what can people expect from this four-day event?
So we're launching off with a media cocktail, media VIP cocktails, which is really just to introduce ourselves and be like, why are we doing this? Why is this important? And kind of really answering people's questions. People have a lot of questions. It surprises me when one of the questions is, well, can we wear this? Can we wear these designs? Yes, you can wear these designs. People like Jamie Okuma and Orlando Degay and Leslie Hampton, their collections are meant to be worn by the masses, especially when you look at, you know, consciousness of diversity in sizes, such as Leslie Hampton, and then the ready-to-wear collection by Jamie. They're not making regalia for ceremony or powwow. I mean, that's, you know, you're not going to antique shops and buying something made in the 1800s that was meant for a very certain purpose. This is fashion. This is meant to be worn by all. So to answer kind of basic questions like that, and then to also give at the media launch, to also give my 10-year, my long-term vision of this. This is not meant to be a flash in a pan. This is really meant to situate Santa Fe as the place where industry comes to work with, partner with, brand with, create with Indigenous people in the fashion industry in all of its various forms. Then there's going to be the fashion symposium and then a launch party and lots of chances to meet and network and to actually talk with the designers, talk with models, talk with people who are behind the scenes. But then also it's 2 days of fashion days, and that's the Saturday and Sunday. So this is not like the August Market one where it's a one and done show. This is going to be two shows a day for Saturday and Sunday. So I'm not at the point where I can have 10 shows a day all over the city. So this really is just a planting seeds. But all shows are completely different. And I want to stress that this is much different than the August Market for anybody who's been to the Swaya August fashion shows. This is really meant to follow a fashion week structure where it's a floor runway. It's not a raised runway. And it's a smaller set of designers per show. It's not one show and then a break, one show and a break. It is a small set of designers and then a break where people can shop the runway. They can go out and visit the fashion activation spaces and the fashion pop shops. And this is also really essential to the Fashion Week and how it differs is that it allows emerging designers or artists who they create amazing accessories, but don't have a full collection that can be on the runway. So it really is a chance to offer a platform for people, designers, creators, not necessarily be in or have a full collection, but also to give them a taste of what this could be and maybe to network and collaborate with some other designers to have a full collection. So that's it. Really is going to be a full and immersive and fun and visually captivating and scholarly and insightful to all the different layers and depths of Indigenous fashion.
Yeah, and I am super excited about the Fashion Symposium, which I think is on Friday. Can you talk a little bit more about what people can expect from the Fashion Symposium? Because I know, and maybe some of the themes that it's going to address. You mentioned one with, can I wear as a non-Indigenous person? Can I wear Indigenous fashion? But I know there's a lot of other kind of consistent themes you're going to address in there as well.
Yes. So the Fashion Symposium is Friday, May 3rd, and that's at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture. And Meow Wolf is one of our great sponsors for this. So we can, I'm very excited about that. And the symposium is free and open to the public. And the panelists are going to be the designers who are coming to for Fashion Week. But we also have a couple of surprise guests. I can't officially announce them yet, but the key conversationalists I'm really excited about. And this person is really someone who has been involved in fashion, all of its backstage, front stage, as a spokesperson, as a model, as someone who is also could be considered an activist. So kind of going to get into the serious things. We're going to start off with just a designer's hub. And that's really a chance for people, the audience, to get to know the designers and their creative processes. But then some of the themes of the panels is really a chance for designers to talk about things like techniques and is it things that can be a little touchy in terms of work. Is it okay to go in and use kind of these historical family designs in a public ready-to-wear collection? That's going to be different for each designer. But to look at these personal cultural instances that need some space to be talked about. Even when you look historically at Lloyd Kibinew, he was Cherokee, but he was taking designs from Pacific Northwest Coast or from the Hopi and Navajo and putting that, we're talking about the 50s and 60s and putting this on his design. In this day and age, that's appropriation and that wouldn't be a problem. But where are those lines and where do those instances come up now with designers? Can Prairie's designer, you know, use Pacific Northwest Coast designs? Who can use the colors of the Four Direction? Can anybody, you know, there's no answers. It's a matter of looking at these questions but also then you bring in topics that are hot within the fashion industry in general, and that is about the environment and materials and upcycling, recycling, and all of that. So that really is a chance for designers to look at these questions and talk amongst themselves with that. Yeah, so that's a little example. And then I'm really wanting the kind of the final highlight conversation to get back to the fun of fashion and the glitz and the glam and just end on a high. So we get serious, we get into the nitty gritty, but we also are looking at the fun and the fab and the exciting part of fashion as well.
Very cool. I'm very much looking forward to that. And hopefully some of our dress listeners will join me there as well. And then you also, can you talk a little bit about the brand activation spaces, which I find really intriguing because you describe them as fashion playgrounds. So what brands will be showcasing and what can we expect from those spaces?
Yeah, I was really inspired when I went to Fashion Arts Toronto at the end of last year. She, Verja, who started Fashion Arts Toronto, FAT for short, I love it. FAT in Toronto has been going on for like 20 years. And she has what she calls a fashion playground. So I looked at this as my own interpretation of it as brand activation. So it's starting out as really more community-based. And what I say by that is there's artists that will be coming in and doing artist installations, but based around the theme of fashion. And then, but also is a chance for like L'Oreal It Cosmetics is going to be coming in and doing a brand activation. So it also offers a chance for high-profile brands such as L'Oreal, hopefully bigger brands in the future, to come in and try to hopefully appeal to this completely different demographic that a lot of brands do not tap into in terms of the indigenous populations. But also, I have to be frank, it's a chance for me to be like, hey, you know, big brand, come in and give me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fashion show. And because fashion shows do not make money. They are, you know, they're a big marketing strategy for designers. So they're not meant to make money. So we're lucky if we break even. So brand activation spaces is also an opportunity for brand to come in and to appeal to a different demographic. But it's also a chance for example, Pranzo Italian Bar and Grill. They're a local Italian, amazing culinary place here. They'll be coming in. So there'll be chances to taste some local cuisine, to have a glass of Gruet, which is a New Mexico bubbly wine. There actually also is a 20-foot mini runway in the activation space that's sponsored by Urban Native Era. And that's a chance for you to pretend like you're a model for
very fun.
Yeah, get a couple of selfies. But Native Max magazine is also going to be coming in and doing a couple of mini fashion shows on the mini runway with designers who don't have a full collection. Maybe they only have 5 looks or something. So it is really the kind of this all immersive space, all surrounded in fashion, makeup, whatever it may be, modeling. And I'm excited for it. So it's a huge curated space. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And then fashion pop shops, what am I doing? Because it was really meant for people to buy from the designers right after the show. But then it turned into, like, well, why don't we invite this person? So it's turned into this fun, but at this point, extremely stressful event.
It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
Dress listeners, whatever your reason for wanting to learn a new language, whether it's an upcoming international adventure, communicating with your friends and family abroad, or even professional purposes, Rosetta Stone has got you covered.
As the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years now, you can join millions of Rosetta Stone users to learn any of the 25 languages offered. That includes Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and so many more.
And this is fast language acquisition, friends. There are no English translations, so you learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. And right now, you can get lifetime access to all 25 of Rosetta Stone's language courses for 50% off. That's language learning for 25 languages for the rest of your life, which, Cass, is frankly amazing.
It is. And what are you waiting for, dress listeners? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, dress listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Dress listeners, did you know that you can save on everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies with Rakuten?
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category. Beauty, clothing, electronics, home, department stores, pets, you name it. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It really is a no-brainer.
How does it work, you ask? Well, stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via a check or PayPal quarterly.
Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. So join the 17 million members who have already saved at their favorite brands. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. That's Rakuten.com.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Dress listeners, if you suffer from seasonal allergies like me, Astapro is your new go-to. It has been super helpful to me this spring as it bursts into full bloom.
And that's because Astapro is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter solution for nasal allergy symptoms. Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours.
Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. And Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. You too can get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief like I have with Astapro. It gets me back in the game, ready to record the show for all of you.
Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. And of course, we've talked about everything but the designers that are going to be featured in the show. And there are both new and familiar names. I actually didn't recognize a lot of them. So can you tell us about some of these designers and who we can expect to see in the Native fashion shows on the weekend?
Yes, we have some returning designers. We do have some new designers. We have some emerging designers. One of them, Demon, I actually met her when I was in Toronto for Fashion Arts Toronto. And she is this talented young lady, young person, and she's actually doing a lingerie collection, but really highlighting diversity and celebrating different body types and sizes. And she herself is actually a powwow dancer and really started from creating her own dancing regalia. And she's still growing. And I really was just excited to bring just young and fresh and exciting people to the runway. But then you have people such as Orlando Dugay, who is has stayed very true to his artistry as a couture designer. As much as a couture designer can be with a one-person house in their garage, but exquisitely handmade, every detail, even coloring his own thread. And then you have Maria Hupfield, who I was actually just on a Zoom before this. I've worked with her, I've known her for decades. She is first and foremost a performance artist who uses textiles and materials and jingles. And she's actually a prolific, internationally acclaimed artist. And so I'm excited to be able to bring that performative element to the runway as well. So she may not be known in the fashion world, but she absolutely is an award, internationally acclaimed contemporary Indigenous artist. And then we have someone new to the runway as well, is Randy Barton. And he's an artist, and an artist in all of its diverse, from music to performance to streetwear to visual artists. So he's creating a collection that I'm really excited about. And he's actually working with a dance group called Dancing Earth. And I guess all of these models, his previous models are all now part of this dance group, or a lot of them, Dancing Earth. So he as well is going to be bringing a performative element to it. So I'm really trying to balance this. You know, you have this fantasy part of fashion, this high end, this couture, to this ready wear, but to also the fun and the young and the hip and the cool and so hip it hurts kind of crew, and the younger demographics who keep their finger on the pulse. And I'm getting to be an old lady now, and I don't have my finger on that pulse anymore.
I feel you. But that's what I've always loved about the Swaya runway and shows, is there's such a broad diversity and range. And you always have this intersection of like fashion and art and performance art and activism. All of those things can be expected and more on the runway. So it's really, really cool.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And in that vein, I can't wait to come back and talk to you about the August, because I have stellar stuff brewing up for August that is exactly what you just mentioned, but in a condensed form. So lots of exciting things. So I'm so glad to talk to you about this, because now I'm getting happy and excited again.
Well, and I was really, and I might say their name wrong, so please correct me, Pashan Bread, who is a model that I recognize over and over again as being a staple of the Swaya runway. Pashan's actually returning as a designer.
She comes from a family, a long line of beautiful people. Oh, my stars. Her mother is Jane Myers, who is an award-winning artist, powwow dancer. She has three beautiful, which includes Pishon, Philip Bread, who is the New York model, New York-based model who does the ad campaigns for Ralph Lauren, as well as Wakia Jane, and who's an artist. And so They are just such a beautiful family inside and out, and all so talented. And so actually all of them have been, all of her children, Jane herself, that whole family has been on my runway many, many, many times, but especially Pishon. Pishon's been on the very first runway, and she has all also been an artist in terms of making her own, making jewelry, but also filming. She's done films, she's acted. The talents that this individual has is amazing. And so she's been kind of under the radar. She's been looking at going into fashion. And I caught ear of this and I'm like, Pishon, what are you doing here? Tell me more. And then when she told me, I'm like, let's get you on the runway. And really exciting. I mean, she is someone who is just fashionable and beautiful and so just cool and hip and trendy and all of those good things with an engaging young designer and always traveling and mixing with amazing talent people, and her whole world is exciting. So I'm thrilled. And her opening, I can't say it because I don't want to make her upset if she finds out I shared any little secrets, but she has some exciting things happening in her set, including a really exciting model who's coming in for this. But then there's also, I have to mention, Carrie Wood, another new person to the runway. When I originally started doing the fashion week, I'm like, not too many people are going to want to come in for this because it's new. I'm shocked at the amount of models who are flying in for this from across Canada, the United States, and designers who are coming in to be a part of this. It's expensive, but Carrie's another local person who originally reached out to because she has been designing clothes for friends and for family. And she's actually in software engineering. She's a very mathematical brained person. And she has transferred that into her pattern making and exquisite designs that are technically very difficult, but is all based on who she is as a Navajo woman. And that is looking at bluebird flower bags. That is something that has been used for decades in Navajo land by Navajo artists for making different types of clothing. And because that was the predominant flower that was available in Navajo territory. So she is making these exquisite brands really based in who she is as a Navajo woman in terms of the aesthetics and conceptually. And I just did a studio visit with her the other day, and just so exciting what she is doing. It is one of a kind. This is not mass produced. This is not ready to wear. It is all exquisitely made collections, and super excited about that. So everybody has got to come to this. I'm expecting this kind of like the fashion shows did. This is going to grow and grow and grow. And then it's going to get to the point where like, oh my God, I don't want to go there. It's too busy or I can't get in.
Yes.
So I really encourage local people, especially, or people around the state of New Mexico, or if you're just a fashion lover, to come and see this, because it will really be a chance where you have some breath to see it, and where Santa Fe isn't going to become we got to increase the prices during Fashion Week.
And on the ground floor.
Where everybody comes in on, come in now. So.
But I mean, I totally get why all these people come in, right? Because this is such a special experience for them on so many ways. You've created this incredibly communal space for them to come and showcase their work. And it's just so exciting to be here personally and witness this first. I'm, of course, going to be there for all 4 days, and to witness the beginning of something that's so exciting, because you've already built so much. So it's just an extension of that. And I love telling my students or anybody that'll listen that I live in a World Fashion Center, and people are like, what are you talking about, right? It's like, no, this is a World Fashion Center, and that is because of Santa Fe, and it's an indigenous fashion hub. And it's just so exciting to be here and to witness this, like I said, this inaugural historic, really important event.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a good point. For people to say, I could see why people would be, what do you mean Santa Fe's fashion center in New Mexico? And there is just a fascinating history with how Santa Fe was even started as the city. And then you look at Lloyd Kivenew, you look at all the Easterners who would come here to spend the holidays back in the day when you could just go to the Gap and get some summer wear. then you just also, even during market, Swaya in itself is this beautifully weird fashion bubble in terms of people come and they dress turquoise best, right? Lay it in with turquoise and silver and cowboy. And so it's this whole interesting method in itself. But that's why I just think this is such a great base to expand that fashion genre to include contemporary indigenous and not a native regalia fashion, which is what I expect when they come to the Southwest. So again, I want this to be the place where the fashion industry comes. And so to change the landscape of fashion into something that's much larger than that.
Well, I think you are absolutely going to succeed in doing that. This is just the beginning, and I'm so excited for what is to come. Thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure our dress listeners will join me, those that are in New Mexico, in attending this historic event. So congratulations, good luck on the final couple weeks, and I will see you there.
Thank you so much.
Amber Dawn, thank you so much for joining us. Cass, I know that you are going to be there for the entire weekend of festivities. Where can our listeners learn more if they would like to join you?
Yes, and we will, of course, link to this in our show notes, but you can get your tickets now at swayanativefashion.org. That's S-W-A-I-A, nativefashion.org. And be sure to follow along on Instagram at swayanativefashion for daily updates on who and what to expect from this history-making event. And I hope to see you there.
Well, that does it for us today, dress listeners. May you consider the significance of Indigenous fashion to the past, present, and future next time you get dressed.
We love hearing from you, so please email us at hello@dresshistory.com. Dresshistory.com is our website where you can find info on our upcoming fashion history tours, classes, and anything else we have up our sleeves, including currently April's Fashion History Fridays at the Met, which are now in full swing. And you can also direct message us on Instagram at @dress_podcast, where you'll find images and reels to accompany each week's episode. And if you want to find the Instagram content specifically connected to this episode, check out the hashtag #dressed358.
And remember, you can always find an array of our favorite and podcast-featured fashion history titles on our Dressed bookshelf through bookshop.org. You can find a link to our bookshelf in our show notes, as well as a link to sign up for an ad-free version of the show, which is our exclusive content, and that is just $3 a month. As always, thank you so much for your continued support. More Dressed coming your way on Friday. Dressed, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dressed Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.